Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining for episode 115 of the pod. It's another ranking episode today, and it's unlike any we've ever done before. A little off the beaten path, but a fun one nonetheless. Recommended actually by a viewer during last week's episode. We're going to be ranking all the romances via a tier list in Star Wars today. So exciting, kind of different episode for y'all today. Thanks for joining us. Before we get into the action, want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout channel on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as our latest reactions to Star Wars episodes when they are released. We would appreciate it very much if you check us out over there and hit that subscribe button as we continue that climb towards 500 subs on YouTube. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the podcast. You can also find the podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout. And if you happen to be watching the live stream version of this podcast, not only are we live streaming on YouTube, but as we've said in a couple of our previous episodes, and as we'll remind you today, we're also live streaming on Twitch currently. If you're not following Hoth Hangout there, definitely hit the follow button over on the Hoth Hangout Twitch channel as well. Additionally, you can find our Discord link to the Hoth Hangout community server in the show notes of today's episode below. Joey, how are you doing? How have you been?
Doing pretty good. This is a silly one, I think you mentioned, but I think it's going to be fun. We mentioned a little bit earlier, before we started the show, that we wanted to just have a little bit of fun with this. This is really just another avenue of just a way to talk about Star Wars, but at the same time, throw a little fun tier list in the middle of this, so it should be a good time.
Right off the top, Spy on Sports, who's watching the podcast live on YouTube, commenting, do bromances count and droidmances? That's a good clarification we'll have to make as we go.
Yeah, we definitely, that'll be, maybe that we'll throw those in the end, maybe a couple of honorable mentions we have to mention at the end there.
Yeah, we'll definitely throw in a couple honorable mentions at the end. But yeah, it's going to be a fun one today. I don't actually recall who recommended this to us last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess I should say, during our last podcast. But it was just kind of wrap up of the last episode, and someone in the comments of the YouTube chat was like, hey, you guys know what you should do? And we were kind of like, well, that would be kind of fun and kind of a different episode. And so here we are 2 weeks later. We've got a Star Wars romance tier list for you all listening today. How do we want to kick this one off, Joey? I mean, we don't have a ton of news today in terms of the world of Star Wars. Before we get into the romance tier list, what are your just general thoughts about kind of what we've got planned in store for today?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, there is a lot of romance in Star Wars. If you really, you know, obviously through the trilogies, you've got some very important ones. You've got the Han and Leia, and obviously in the prequels, Anakin and Padme, and of course in, well, I guess not of course, I guess we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but in the sequel trilogy, Rey and Kylo, little Ben Solo had a romance that bloomed right at the end that maybe I didn't really know about, but I think it's a, I think it was something that I don't know if the story necessarily needed it there in the sequel trilogy. I would have been fine without it, but I guess we'll talk more about it. But I guess it's, you know, what we could talk about here is the importance of, you know, having these types of relationships in Star Wars as well. You know, if there is a true need for them, what we thought of each of the couples that we've kind of come up with in our tier list. And let it be known that there are a couple of them that are just like, you know, I'm not sure if that actually happened in the show or in the movie, but we're just going to throw it in there just to have a little fun with it.
real quick, also, I was going to ask you, what's your criteria for determining, like, what the quality of the romance is?
Oh, I guess if I really felt the need for, you know, if they really were a huge part of the storyline, if it really made sense, if it, you know, that kind of stuff. If we're able to find it there, and it pushes along the storyline, I think that's an important piece of it. So I think that that's a huge part of it. And let's be honest, if we kind of like, okay, this is a good romance, they are a good couple, we'll get to the couple, I'm sure, of who we think is may not be a good one, but you know, we'll get there.
I think for me it's probably like a lot of what you were saying, like, does it make sense within the context of the story? That's probably like my primary criteria. I don't even know if I have a secondary one or not, but yeah, we'll get to some of those more honorable mentions, like we said at the end today. But are you ready to hop right into the Star Wars romance tier list?
Yeah, let's do it. And I will say, all right, you know, before we get started, for anybody who is viewing on Twitch, we are doing a stream together. It's on my channel, it's Kuya Joey, as well as the Hoth Hangout channel. It looks like the audio is kind of funky on my side, on the It's Kuya Joey channel. So if you hop over to the Hoth Hangout Twitch channel, it should be a lot better there.
Nice. All right. Well, I feel like this should be like a February episode for Valentine's Day, but here we are in the middle of June doing a Star Wars romance tier list.
We were a little busy. I think we were all a little busy in the early months of
that's true
of the year.
That was a week before my wedding. We could have streamed like on the wedding day, right? I probably would have worked out. No,
I think Mariah would have been like totally cool with it.
Yeah, probably. I don't see her having an issue with it. Yeah. All right. Well, where would you like to go to kick us off on this one, Joey? Are we going right down our list here? Or are we hopping around?
Yeah, let's go right down our list just to make it a little bit easier for our producer Gibbo will be manning the tier list here. So we're just going to go right down the line here.
Well, let's kick it off with what is arguably I would make the case the second most, probably the second most iconic romance in Star Wars history. Anakin Skywalker and Padme Amidala. How do you feel about the second most notable romance in Star Wars history? Like behind Han and Leia.
It's necessary, right? I mean, it's necessary. Yeah. What happened with Anakin and Padme? Obviously, there was a little bit of the jealous love. That's what I end up seeing from Anakin. Just nobody can have her but me. That's the kind of feeling that I got from him. Meanwhile, she's like, "Okay, you just slaughtered all these children and women. I love you." You know, so like, you know, it's kind of that thing that works. It shouldn't work, but it works, right? I'll be the first to admit, Hayden maybe, you know, wasn't like the best, you know, when it came out. You know, I didn't really receive him as well as, you know, a lot of other people did as well. So I think that it felt a little awkward here and there. The sand line, I mean, everybody knows the sand line and how it's coarse and just all that, you know, and there was this one particular line that this exchange, like, "Oh, I'm in so in love with you." Like, no, it's because I'm so in love with you. I'm like, like, you know,
that one's painful.
So as it's important to the storyline of everything, the romance itself could have been better. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not S. we're pretty solid on that, right? I think a lot of people see this and they're like, "Oh, Attack of the Clones, this is in the bottom tier," which is fair. I think if you're only judging this relationship off of Attack of the Clones, it's, you know, it probably is bottom tier. My case, by the way, shout out to Mariah in the chat. Hi, Mariah. My case for Anakin and Padme is that it's kind of like a lot of, if not even fully, like his reason for falling to the dark side. Like he loses his mother in episode 2, and episode 3, his whole thing is like, "I cannot lose Padme too." And so Is it this romance-filled relationship? No, not really. I mean, it's more bearable in episode 3 than it is in episode 2. But having said that, like, it justifies a little bit of the storyline of episode 3. And again, not to say that the episode 3 scenes with these two are that good, but they're a heck of a lot better than the episode 2 scenes. So our tier list is S, A, B, C, D. I'm floating somewhere around like the C, maybe low B. How are you feeling about that?
I'm thinking low B also. But I think to start it off, I think we just throw it in C just to kind of, we can move things around as needed. But I think we throw the Anakin Padme relationship in C to start.
I like that as a starting point, kind of right in the middle of our tiers, and then we can sort of rearrange stuff at the end if we need to.
Right.
Rolling in the hay to a whole new level. Is that the scene on Naboo in episode 2 where they're just like falling over each other?
Yeah. Like, because aren't they riding some of the, I forget which species they were riding together, but they ended up, one of them gets away and then he ends up falling and then, or she falls and then he falls after her. And
yeah,
it's pretty cheesy.
Yeah. I feel like it's deserving of C tier for now. And we can either move it if we need to, but I feel like that's a good spot for that one. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree
with that. Well, moving from the prequel trilogy primary romance to the OG trilogy romance, this is, I think, what people think of when they think of romance in Star Wars, probably first, is Han Solo and Leia Organa. Now, I think the natural tendency here is just to like, oh, it's S, throw it in S. And I'm not arguing with that, but I'm just, are there any reasons why you wouldn't want this in the S tier?
That I wouldn't want it in the S tier? Well, let's talk through it. He's kind of the arrogant smuggler, right? She is all government, all corporate, you know? So there's that opposite attract element to them. And I mean, let's be honest, I'll have to like look through all of them. This is like the best looking couple together. You know what I mean? Like these two, like I could just imagine actually being together. Fun fact, I think off screen, they had a fling here or there. So I think that actually did happen from what I understand. But I think just the chemistry here with the two of them just really defined a good portion of it. And it wasn't like, right in your face the entire time. It was kind of like this was just like kind of simmering in the background while everything else was going on. But you knew at the end that these two were going to end up together. It's kind of like, remember in Friends with Ross and Rachel? Like you knew by the end of the series that these two were going to end up together. That's kind of how I ended up feeling about Han and Leia.
This is a good point that Spy on Sports brings up in the YouTube chat. Are we including the sequels? I mean, I think we have to if it's canon as part of their relationship. Because I think if you include the sequels, you kind of get away from some of that like nostalgia of it being the Star Wars couple of the original trilogy. And then you see where it goes and it, like Spy on Sports says, it becomes unhealthy and it doesn't last. Like, does the sequels bring the relationship of Han and Leia out of the S tier? Or does it even belong in the S tier in the first place?
Right. What are your thoughts initially on that?
I mean, it's just, they are the Star Wars couple. And so you think of that, you hear Han and Leia, you're like, oh, S tier. And I don't know. I don't feel like there's, I'm trying to be objective about the original trilogy, because we all love the original trilogy, obviously.
Right.
And I'm just trying to think back of like, their relationship specifically over the course of 4, 5, 6. Are there any indications that like there's this budding sense of connection between the two? Mm-hmm. Yes, in some ways, but I don't know. I can think of maybe one or two other couples we're going to talk about today that I probably think would be, at least in my sense of what defines an S tier romance in Star Wars, probably higher than them. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about just putting them at S for now? I don't know. Like, if
I don't know, I don't think we put them. I don't even think we put S. I think we at most put A, and honestly, high B. I would even venture.
Okay, the fact that you're dipping into the B makes me think that we should just kind of not. We should avoid the S.
Yes, I agree with that.
Maybe put them in A for now, and then see what we do at the end.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Okay.
But I mean, I'll be honest. I didn't even think of the sequel when we were putting this list together. I wasn't even thinking of like the sequel trilogy and how that ended up. So yeah, I like the thought of that.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, we do have just one sequel trilogy couple. No, two sequel trilogy couples on our list today. So we are taking the sequels into consideration. But yeah, we're gonna go with the A tier for Han and Leia. And yeah, like Spionsport says, you could make the case that just for the line, I love you, I know, they could be in an S tier for that iconic line.
I mean, just for that line, yeah, you know. And, you know, do we look at it, and, you know, we'll revisit it all, but do we, you know, really look at every single, you know, a piece of this relationship? I mean, there's a lot of relationships that you can just tear apart. Nothing will ever be S, right? So, but in this world, in the Star Wars world, do we allow some of that to happen just because of it? Just because of, like, the moments, the I love you, I know's moments, you know?
Right, right.
But we'll go back to that.
Going on to our third relationship, we have another Han Solo in here, and it's Han Solo and Kira from the Solo movie. And to be fair, there are more than a couple couples on this list who I'm like, I don't remember what their relationship entailed much.
Sure.
And this is one of them for me. If you asked me what was the development of the relationship between Han and Kira in this movie, I'd be like, I could not tell you.
Right.
I mean, I've seen this movie twice. And it's been, I think, at least a couple years since I've seen kind of the romance. What do you recall from the development of their characters? I know she's kind of initially with him and then turns, and then he finds out later that she's part of Crimson Dawn. Am I remembering that correctly? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember what I said earlier about Han and Leia looking good? This is a good looking color couple right here. So let's start off with the... on the top layer of like a good looking couple. This is a good looking couple. So I think, I mean, young love, you know, let's start it off with that young love, you know, in comparison to what we see in the original trilogy. She is with him at the beginning. Are they on Kessel? I forget if that's where they started off on the planet, but that's where they, you know, they start off the movie with them together, and, you know, really, it seemed like a pretty good partnership, you know, because, he was the smuggler. It looks like she was also kind of a smuggler. Spartan Sports says his war-torn lover separated by the Empire. She makes sacrifice to let him escape. Corellia. Thank you. That's where it was. Corellia, not Kessel, but, just to have that. You know what I mean? That's a great love story, you know? Like, she was in a position to help him out and possibly get him in trouble, get herself in trouble, but she's able to let him get him to escape. So, and that's out of love. That's out of the relationship that they had at the beginning. At the end of it, yeah, they ended up going their separate ways. But it's one of those things where I could have seen this relationship continue to go on if we didn't see Leia in the original trilogy. You know what I mean? I always wanted some type of cameo there where she would kind of pop up in some form back in his life, because as far as we know it, I mean, Solo happens right before New Hope. Yeah. So, I mean, she's alive at the end of Solo, so she's, I don't know. And I don't know if she has had an ending for her story at this point. But, I mean, if not, then, I mean, she's still around, even during all this Leia stuff. He goes rogue from the Empire and becomes the scoundrel we all know and love. That's what Spy on Sports says.
My question is, you can't put them above Han and Leia, can you?
I don't think you can. I don't think I you know, that's a, like I said, that is a pivotal, important relationship inside of Star Wars. So to put them above that would be just wrong. But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't put them extremely far away from them either. Now, it's very short lived. We only have a small sample size of this particular relationship, but I mean, I could see them in, you know, a B or, you know, maybe high C if, you know, with possibilities, with hopes for them.
I was thinking B just for the fact that this relationship, as at least as best as I remember from seeing it a couple years ago, is not cringe like the Anakin and Padme one is at certain times.
Right. Yes.
But you can't exactly put it on the level of Han and Leia. How are you feeling with B tier for these guys?
Yeah, let's start with B with that one as well. Yeah.
Okay. Also, another notable thing at the end of the movie is Spion Sports points out that she is, you know, now in charge of Crimson Dawn. That Maul cameo, that really came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And
still,
to this day, I think that's probably my favorite part of of Solo.
Yeah, I think Kira's actually in the Outlaws game too, now that I remember.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I definitely did finish. I did not finish.
All right. Well, we're going B with Han and Kira. Oh, this is a big one. This next one. We've got Kylo.
This is going to be a good one. This is the good one. I think that the good ones to talk about are the ones that, you know,
people like to hate
controversy. Yeah, we'll see. Let's talk through this one. You go first on this one.
Yeah, I mean, between the two of us, you probably like them more than I do, wouldn't you say?
I mean, not by much, but
okay, fair.
Yeah,
my thing with their relationship is, I think it works fine up until Rise of Skywalker. Because they don't really have like a romantic relationship. It's like sort of teased in episode 8, like with this Force dyad stuff. But then episode 9, you're just like we hated each other for the past two movies, and now we're kissing each other at the end. Like it's just like,
right.
Yeah, somehow they fell in love.
Exactly.
I think. Let me say first that if I were directing all three of the movies, especially episode 9 after 7 and 8, like just let them have this almost like brother-sisterly kind of love rather than what they did. I feel like that would have made way more sense. Like let the sacrifice mean something without having to try to like shoehorn it into this like romantic thing that wasn't there at all for the last two movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when it happens on screen, I remember sitting in the theater, someone in this theater, you know, a couple hundred people or whatever it was, I think it may have even been more than one person, but there were audible sounds of like, what, you know, like people were just so flabbergasted that this is the direction that they took with the relationship of these two. You're gonna probably have to convince me to not put this in the lowest tier just because I think, like, plot-wise, it makes no sense. I'm on the record saying that Rise of Skywalker is notably worse than either of the other sequel movies. As much as people like to hate on Last Jedi, I think Rise of Skywalker is notably worse than both of those two films. And this is just kind of like one of those big highlights of the movie that makes it just so really just bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Is this forced relationship that makes no sense. So I would go bottom tier. What are you thinking?
So, you know, at the top of the show, we were talking about like, how are we going to rate these? What are the, you know, and I mentioned the importance of the relationship, you know, in relation to the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get from the first two movies of the sequel trilogy, I didn't get this at all. You know, this wasn't where I thought this was going to go. Like you said, maybe there was that moment. I think it was on that moment where they were, you know, they're doing the FaceTime calls, basically, they have that connection, you know. So you knew that there was a strong bond between the two of them. Now, I think that's where the splitting point was for a lot of people, where they're like, okay, they're really strong in the Force together. And you could foresee, like, okay, well, together they're going to be able to take down the big bad villain who we did not know was the Emperor at that point in Last Jedi. But at some point they were going to be able to, like, you know, join together and, you know, beat the bad guy. But it wasn't in love. You know, it wasn't in romance. It was, you know, and I think that's where I went. I went like, okay, this is the kind of connection that they have. Kind of like the brother sisterly, the one that you even mentioned. Mm-hmm. And even when they were even talking about like the dyad, and I think that word was used, I believe, in Rise of Skywalker and not in in Last Jedi. Even when they were saying that, I was thinking, okay, dyad, I mean, they're kind of one and the same. They're, you know, they're together as one. And again, not from a romantic standpoint, but from like the Force, right? So yeah. When this happened at the end of Rise of Skywalker, I was shocked too. And I was like, oh, okay. I was aware of like a section of the fandom that really did want this to happen. So part of me was like, okay, well, good for them. They got their they got their thing. But spoiler alert, he dies like right after this. So it was very short-lived. And so that makes it even less meaningful because it's just like now they don't get to live their life together or something like that. It was literally like just this one moment. It was a kiss and then gone. That was the only piece of this romance. Now, since I didn't really view it as a romance up until this part, I can't really call it a romance, you know, like, you know, in my head, you know, the entire time, right? So this may surprise you, but I'm going to agree with you that I think this belongs in the bottom tier of our tier list.
I'll be hard pressed to find something that's lower today than this one. I think it was the icing.
We'll see.
the icing on the poorly tasting cake of the sequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess so. We're going D tier for that one then, bottom tier.
Yeah. Spine Sports says it's even worse that they played up this potentially platonic relationship with Finn. So, I mean, the Rey and Finn, you know, relationship, we weren't quite sure kind of early on. You know, we don't have these two on the list, so I think it's okay to talk about it here. But, you know, in Force Awakens, there was this kind of there's some chemistry there between the two of them. It was more like the bantering, like, you know, like a best friend, annoying little brother, you know, type of, it's kind of what it felt like. But I felt like that had more potential to have a romance than this ever did.
Right. Yeah. I'm in agreement there and got to go D tier with these two. our next three are all Andor related. We love us a good Andor show. Best show in Star Wars history. Just gonna go out there and say it again. I'll hold on to that position strongly. The first one, however, is Andor and Jyn Erso. Now this one is from Rogue One, not from the Andor show, and it's not really ever overtly a romance. It's kind of this implied sense, and now actually that we've seen seasons 1 and 2 of Andor, I don't know if I get the sense as much that this felt like a romance as when you watch it in Rogue One. Because when you watch it in Rogue One, I think I felt that way too. Like, oh, what could have been as a romance? But then you watch Andor and you see the connection that Andor has with Bix, and you're like, maybe that was just more of like a kind of like what we said we wished Kylo and Rey should have been, this brother sisterly relationship. And Spy on Sports saying that's my favorite relationship, but it's not romantic. Yeah, it's kind of this like it's not overtly romantic in any way. I mean, again, it's more like a brother sisterly relationship. So I don't know that I don't even know what my thought process is here with this one about where we're putting it on the tier list. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it was more of the potential. These were the two leaders of the squad, right? And I think just in and of itself, when you have these two people that are kind of at that rank together, bickering, you know, making decisions and all that, you kind of naturally put them together, or as the kids say, they ship them. I don't know if that the people still say that, but eventually, you know, that's the two that you end up together. Now at the end of Rogue One, we kind of know what happens. They don't make it out of Scarif. But to be able to have that possibility, much like the Kira Han one, like the what could have been, what would have happened if this worked out, you know? So not really a romance like you say. And I guess we probably should have had a category saying like not a romance, because I don't think this one would really count as that. But I mean, with the absence of that particular category, I'd probably put it at like, you know, the end of D, just because it's just like, although this was something that we would have liked to have seen, maybe, like you said, you know, seeing the relationship that Bix and Cassian had together, I think that was really a romance in itself.
Yeah, I'm inclined to put this above Kylo and Rey, only because even though this relationship isn't overtly romantic in any way, and where Kylo and Rey's like technically is by the end of episode 9, at least this relationship has so much meaning. Like, it's all about sacrifice. Yes. It's about giving all of yourself for a cause. And I mean, I know they're not romantic. I still am inclined to put this above Kylo and Rey. Is that an unfair justification?
No, I think that, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, I think you can go either way with it, but I think I think I would be fine with putting it above Rey and Kylo as well.
Okay. So we're still going D tier with Andor and Jyn Erso, but just not at the top of the D tier, we'll say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rough. No, something that wasn't even a romance is higher than something that apparently was. that's a rough day for Rey and Kylo.
By the way, we'll post this to some of the Hoth Hangout socials and get people's feedback on what we think of Star Wars romances. I'd be curious to hear what people think of this list we're constructing so far. The other Andor one here, with Cassian in it, is Cassian and Bix. Now, this one, I was a little unsure of where we were headed at the end of season one. And season two, not to mention the season two is just such good Star Wars, but this relationship, even though it's not like lovey-dovey or anything like that, it has so much meaning to it. And this is a small spoiler for Andor season two. I'll give everyone like two or three more seconds to mute it for a second if you want. But like Bix ultimately makes this sacrifice, and says, I'm not going to be in this relationship so that he can serve the effort of the rebellion, essentially, even though it's what they both really truly want, which again, it's about sacrifice in this relationship. So I'm inclined to put this relatively high. What about you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be fine with it too. I think the, you want to talk about a developing relationship, you know, like you said, in season one, it seemed like they were together before the series had started, and you knew how, like, all the stuff that Bix had gone through and everything like that. I think that that's what ended up really making this relationship so strong, was you saw it kind of, you know, start from the beginning and then kind of to the end. And here is a, you know, we continue on with the spoilers here, you know, at the end where she ends up, you know, having his child, you know. So I mean, that's the kind of relationship that they have, which, by the way, makes Rogue One way, way, way more sad, you know. But right. But I think because, you know, she's kind of just waiting there for him at the end, and you then that's what, you know, that's the essentially what's going to happen, is that he's going to be gone, and then she's going to be alone with Cassian Jr. or whoever, you know. So I think just to have that full story. And the importance that it is to the storyline of Andor. I mean, they were like, you know, and just the like relationship stuff. I think, you know, we talked about how Andor just true like to its word, like just really gritty, and doesn't really sugarcoat anything. I mean, the troubles that they had as a couple as well, you know, where, you know, she wanted him to stop, he wanted to keep going, or just everything, you know, just it just seemed like this was such a good relationship. It was needed for the show. It needed for this universe, because you normally always think like Empire Rebellion and everyone is like, you know, it's this, these are just the bad guys, these are the good guys. But here's the nuanced, you know, couple, a relationship that really shows like the layers of not only just a relationship, but a relationship in the middle of a war.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it continues that theme of really sacrifice, as really most of the relationships do in this show of Andor. I'm thinking, let's see, we have Han and Leia at A, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything on S yet? I don't think we do.
I don't think we have anything on S yet.
I don't know if I go...
I don't think I'd go S. I think I'd go A for sure.
Below Han and Leia, you think?
I can be talked above, too, honestly.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia behind Han and Leia, and I think that's a good portion of that. But the relationship itself, and I think, you know, even Sapphire and Sports mentioned it, I mean, although, you know, an epic relationship with Han and Leia, a little messy, you know, between the two of them, maybe a little toxic even, you know, but with these two, it was, you know, they were able to make it work through this war. So I could be talked into above Han and Leia as well.
I'm okay putting that there, I think. I think I'm just such a lover of Andor as a show that I can be talked into putting them above Han and Leia in the A tier.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
So that's our second A tier. We've got one on each tier now, isn't that right? I'm pretty sure.
Except S, yeah.
Except for S, yeah. Yeah, okay. Man, I'm just thinking, like, what is going to be S-worthy? Is there anything in Star Wars? I mean, we've got quite a few more relationships.
I'm looking at a couple of them. I could be argued into a couple of them there.
I do see one down the list that I'm probably going to advocate for now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how we get there, not to jump the gun too much. The last Andor one we have here is Vel and Senta. This one, again, this goes back to like when we first started recording the podcast, when we were in, you know, our very first episodes doing season one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like season one was such a long time ago that where we see them in season two at compared to season one just felt so different. What did you think about kind of the jump with where we find them from season one to season two?
I think the problem with this one is we just don't get enough of them. You know, like that's... They are definitely like more, especially Senta, much more of a kind of a background soldier type of character. And I think this relationship is good because it's another example of trying to make something work that's happening in the middle of a war. And maybe that's just kind of Andor in general, you know, is trying to make something. You know, something that makes you happy in the middle of such a terrible, terrible time. So, and I think, and I don't know, we don't know the origins of this particular relationship, but I mean, we knew that they started like really early within the series, obviously, and kind of made it all the way through. Well, to the, you know, as far as
spoiler
they
alert,
spoiler alert, everybody, one of them doesn't make it. So, I think the another good example of a good romance. You saw how important they were to each other. I think that was a big part. You know, when Vel, I think when the point where we saw Senta for the first time in season two, when she was taking away Mon Mothma's buddy.
Right. Yeah, I forget.
Yeah.
Start with a K. Anyways.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so when we saw, like, I guess how I measured is, how did I feel when I saw Senta? And I was like, oh, there's Senta. So I think there's they do a good job of making this relationship work throughout the war, but also not throw it in your face as much as you know, like it's just like it's just part of their lives, you know. It's nothing like, oh, we must and I keep saying it that way because there's going to be one later on where it just like they push this couple in your face and you're just like, I can't not look away. So if you know, you know. But I think with this one, I think they did a good job at developing this relationship. Unfortunately, Cinta does not make it out of season two. Spoiler alert. And I was rooting for them. I was rooting for them to get out of here alive. But I think you and I both know, we know what Andor was. One of them wasn't going to make it. So it just felt like that. That was what was going to happen. It came true. And but saying all that, I don't think it's as pivotal as like a Han and Leia or Bix and Cassian.
Right.
And it's definitely not as cringy as an Anakin Padme. So I would probably put them in the, what would that be, the B tier, like above Anakin and Padme? That's probably where I would put them.
Like below Han Solo and Kira, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. So below.
Well, it would also be above Anakin and
above
Padme.
Yeah, but yeah, because they're in C, right? I forgot they're in C actually.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going. You'd go low B.
I'd go low B with them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that sounds good. I mean, just every relationship in Andor is about kind of this sense of sacrifice, and I think just when you look at this show as a whole. The relationships feel more meaningful because they're all centered around good storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you said, it's not cringe like Anakin and Padme dialogue.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that actually is a good place for them.
Okay. So
For Sprout Sports says, for being a couple that never really rose out of the B or even C storyline, this is a really good one. Yeah, they definitely. I feel like the amount of times you actually see them on screen together is like two or three times in the entire show.
Yeah, probably, and that speaks to like how meaningful, powerful that relationship is. So,
sure, yeah. All right, so B tier, so bottom of B tier,
end of beer. I said beer. We need a beer.
Beer tier.
Yeah.
Ooh, this next one is a big one. This one is another controversial one, Joey. I am going to ultimately defer to you a little bit on this next one. It's Finn and Rose. Okay. Now, we all know kind of the... is disaster too strong a word? In the sense of the entire sequel trilogy not being coordinated. Like, it was J.J., and then it was Rian Johnson, and then it was JJ. And so it was like JJ created this world where it was like, oh, are Finn and Rey going to be a thing?
Yeah.
And then Rian comes in for Last Jedi, and it's like, oh, Finn and Rose are a thing now. Yeah. And obviously she wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't in episode 7, right?
Correct.
And so there is a piece of it that kind of like when you see it developing in episode 8, you're like, oh. Okay, like I thought Finn was gonna end up with Rey,
right?
But I don't know. Did you? I feel bad for remind me of Rose Tico, the actress who plays her,
Kelly Marie Tran. Yeah,
Kelly Marie Tran. I feel bad for how much hate she got for portraying of the role.
Absolutely.
And so that's a part of this too. I think I don't feel like the chemistry of the characters in the actual plot, I didn't feel like they developed it super well.
Yeah.
It just kind of feels, again, a little bit forced. Like it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. And the Force. This is the Force they were talking about. I think is made worse than it already maybe was looked at by some people by the way that they then took it in episode 9. Like, it was just like, you know, we introduced this in episode 8 and everyone's like, oh, okay. Like, it didn't really work that well, but I guess they're kind of a thing, even though Finn doesn't really like her back.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then episode 9 happens, and it's like they're basically not even together. It's just right, like, yeah. I don't know. I think I'm tempted again to put this one in the bottom tier, yeah. But I want to hear what you have to say about this one.
This is, you know, just to give a little background of what happened here. You know, Finn did what he did on Starkiller Base with Rey, and he was kind of, you know, named kind of like a hero. And Rose was an engineer with the Resistance, and, you know, really, you know, fell for him, kind of like in that hero status, like groupie status, you know. So she kind of like looked, put him on a pedestal, always like kind of like, you know, he could do no wrong type of character. And, you know, she always viewed him in the end. So to call this a romance again, this is somebody shooting their shot. This is what this picture of her kissing him is, you know? So I wouldn't necessarily call it that. The fact that they kiss doesn't necessarily mean anything other than the act of kissing, you know, of this particular relationship. So I would, you know, also probably put it at the not a romance tier if we had that, but at the lowest D tier. And if it was up to Spy and Sports, anything lower than a F tier is what our friend Spy and Sports says here about this particular relationship. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree. I mean, the amount of separation between the three movies and the sequel really do unfortunately make just confusing storylines, confusing relationships. And this is just one of them that, because you're right, they could have gone into Rise of Skywalker and been like, okay, we're going to parlay this into something more. He's going to end up learning more about her, falling for her, whatever. But then she wasn't even on the mission with them. She just was back at the base. And while all of them were traveling the universe, and it's basically like a, yeah, it was, yeah. And here's Spine Sports, his thought when she kissed him, well, if Rey isn't available, you know, and, you know, it's just the fallback plan was Rose Tico, unfortunately. So I would put this in D. I would put this in the not an actual romance group.
You going above Kylo and Rey?
No, I'll put them below Kylo and Rey.
Oh,
because
okay.
That one is, at least with Kylo and Rey, there was something developing. But like, so remember I said, like at the middle, you know, in Rise of, in Last Jedi, you could have either went left or right. You could have said, okay, this is a relationship, or this is the Force doing its thing, you know? So I think at least in that case, you could say that with Rose and Finn is just like, what, you know, it was literally a groupie shooting her shot. I'm going to get that's a mean way to put it, but I don't know how else to put that.
yeah. No, I'm cool with the position. I have this like disdain for Kylo and Rey. So it's hard for me to not put them in dead last, but I will admit that this relationship does just kind of like not work in the context of the entire trilogy, or I guess the last two of the trilogy. So, we're definitely over the halfway point, and we've got, let's see, 6 more couples to go through. There are, if you are an animated Star Wars fan, get ready. We got some good ones coming your way. Yes. Next up is Obi-Wan Kenobi and Satine Kryze.
Oh, man.
This is a really good one. And again, if anyone out there is like, I'm a movies only person, I don't watch the TV stuff, especially not the animated TV stuff. You're definitely missing out not watching these, but you're especially missing out not watching Clone Wars. Clone Wars is just renowned as the best animated Star Wars. It develops characters in a way that over the course of the entire show, you end up realizing that there's so much depth that you can provide to a character that you can't do in an hour and a half of a movie, but you can do over the course of 9 seasons of a show with, you know, 22 episodes per season. There's like 7 seasons. And yeah, If you are unaware of who Duchess Satine is, it Duchess Satine Kryze, I think,
right, yeah.
is her full royal title. This is the sister of Bo-Katan, who you might know from The Mandalorian. However, this relationship, it's heavily implied that in the earlier, like pre, maybe even like during his Padawan days with Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan and Duchess Satine had like a thing going, which adds some extra context to Obi-Wan and Anakin's relationship, because Obi-Wan like kind of knows, like he doesn't full out ever ask Anakin, but he kind of knows that there's something going on there. And I think there is part of him that like sees himself in Anakin, and you don't get that side of him until you watch Clone Wars, that he had this desire and care for Duchess Satine. Again, spoiler here, and this is maybe not quite as big as some of the Andor ones we talked about earlier, but she tragically does not make it. And so you really go through this journey of like learning that Obi-Wan kind of like had a thing for this woman at one point and sort of still does, but is bound by the Jedi code of ethics and he can't pursue her, but still really loves and cares for her. And ultimately, like, that decision is, I don't want to say it's like made for him, but like in her passing, he has to come to grips with the loss of someone he loves and go through this process of mourning her loss. And so it is also a story of sacrifice, this relationship. How do you feel about their story?
No, full disclosure for me, you know, it's been a while since I watched the entire, you know, this particular storyline of Obi-Wan and Satine, but I knew it was an important one, so we had to discuss it today. You saw a side of Obi-Wan that you never saw with, you know, with him, like in any other show, movie, or anything. So imagine like Sir Alec Guinness, you know, having this thought in his mind of a Satine, like in his past, you know. So that's kind of where I go when I think about like relationships like this. Like, you know, when Ahsoka, the show wasn't out, like, you know, obviously in, you know, Revenge of the Sith, you know, Anakin knows of Ahsoka. It was his Padawan, you know, so just like things like that. So I like to extend it out a little further. But with this one, you know, just to see Obi-Wan in such a vulnerable and playful, we could all say a very playful kind of a relationship. Yeah. Kind of not always being so by the code, the Jedi code, just having Satine in his heart, I think it's just really sweet, you know, because he isn't just this mentor, he isn't just a Jedi, he isn't, you know, just a Force user, he is a person too, who has, you know, fallen in love with somebody. So I think it's for the storyline, again, I don't know if it does a huge thing for it, you know. But at the same time, it rounds out this character as a human, you know, and, you know, who hasn't had a crush, who hasn't fallen in love when they shouldn't have, you know? So I think to give him a little bit more depth into his character and into who Obi-Wan was, to understand him, I think it did a lot for that. And, would have loved to seen that, you know, we want to talk about, you know, what ifs, you know, what if like if she asked him to leave the Jedi Order, let's talk about that. If she asked him to leave to be with her, I think he'd have to think about it. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, like, that's where the importance of this character, this relationship is to him, and just the possibilities. You know, it really scratches your brain, and you're just like, ooh, what if? What if?
I'm leaning towards, and I want you to weigh in here because this might be my bias for Love of the Clone Wars speaking. Okay. I'm leaning towards A with these two.
Oh, okay.
Is that too high, you think?
So that would be along with Han and Leia and Bix and Cassian, right?
Right.
Where would you put them in A?
I mean, probably at the bottom of A. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can justify putting them above either of the other two couples.
Yeah.
Just because their relationship is just condensed to basically like a series of, maybe it's like two seasons now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is just found in this one you know, one or two seasons of this show, and the episodes aren't really that long. So total screen time, you get to see, like, I don't know, an hour or less of their relationship.
I'd be fine with the lower part of A with them.
Let me ask you this way. Do you put the, can you look at the B tier and say, oh yeah, they're definitely above what we have in the B tier?
So who do we have in B tier? We have
Han and Kira and Vel and Kira. Sensei.
Yes, definitely.
So, okay, you want to go top B or bottom of A with these two?
I'd go bottom of A. I think I'd go bottom of A with them, honestly, because it's just a that more. Yeah, I would go bottom of A for sure.
I'm cool with bottom of A then. So we're going A tier for Obi-Wan Kenobi and Duchess Satine Kryze. I need to rewatch Clone Wars, by the way. That's what I'm really.
Yeah, that would be great.
Learning from talking about
still no
this.
S tiers. Just thought I'd mention it and throw it out there. Right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the next one might be my first S.
Okay. All right.
I think it might be my first S.
Your first S, really? Okay. Let's see what who could you be possibly talking about? But Satine and Obi-Wan, bottom of A.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I mentioned that we're gonna have a couple of animated romances here. This I don't think it's even debatable, like, is the best romance in animated Star Wars
for sure,
and that's Kanan Jarrus and Hera Syndulla. If you haven't seen Rebels, this is the show that takes place between episodes 3 and 4, and stars Kanan Jarrus, Hera Syndulla, Ezra Bridger, Sabine Wren, Zeb Aurelius, whatever his last name
Aurelius,
is.
Aurelius,
yeah.
And Chopper.
And Chopper. How could I forget Chopper? This is just a quick plug for Rebels. You start this show and you're like, it feels like a kid's show. And you get to season 4 and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the deepest Star Wars show I've ever seen. It really has a way of transforming kind of what you consider animated anything to be. It's more than just a medium that's kind of meant for a younger audience. Like, they can make you feel about characters in really significant and meaningful ways. And I think Kanan and Hera's relationship is perhaps one of the most indicative reasons that Rebels is so beloved by the community. I got to go with S on this one for me. I don't know how you're feeling about it. Is that too overhyping their relationship, Joey?
No. When I said that, there are a couple that might hit up the S, I think, Hera and Kanan were definitely one of them. So, yeah, no question with me, an S tier couple. She's a pilot, he's a Jedi, And they had this family. I mean, essentially, it's like their family with Sabine and Ezra and Zeb. I mean, like, they were like the mom and dad of this, you know, this little family that was in the middle of this war again, you know, and to be able to find each other and just like the little things that I remember early on in the episodes, you're trying to get your bearings. You're trying to figure out who's who, like what kind of structure they have as far as a hierarchy on their team, and you're trying to figure all that out. And then, like, Hera throws in a word like, you know, oh, it's okay, love. And we're like, oh, wait, you know, you just wait a minute, hold on. Does that mean, you know, is that her just talking? Is that her, just how she, like, you know, or is that an actual thing, you know? And then we come to find out that, you know, that they are actually a couple, they're a thing. In fact, they, you know, by the end of it, again, Rebels, probably not a huge spoiler. If you watch Ahsoka season 1, you know who kind of makes it out of Rebels. But Kanan does not make it out of Rebels season 4. And the impact of his death, you know, the impact of how they did that episode, and just seeing Hera watching it happen and just everything was just incredible. But it was only incredible because you knew this connection was so strong between them. And they end up, you know, just like, you know, they end up having a child together too, you know, and we who shows up in Ahsoka season one. So that's kind of why I mentioned that. But so the continuance of their love kind of goes on, and you know, but hands down, S tier. And I know it's animated, and I know people are just like, "What?" But trust us when we say that this is an S tier relationship.
Last plug for Star Wars Rebels: Kanan and Hera, top of the S tier so far.
We also have a book together. I don't remember the name of it, but
yeah, also a New Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I started that one, and I need to finish it. Actually, it's been probably like 2 years. I need to go back and probably just start from the beginning. But amongst the fans of Rebels, I hear that book really adds to their relationship even more. So maybe we'd have them in the SS tier if we read A New Dawn.
Very true.
Next one is another animated one. And this one is one that's kind of like more one of those like alluded to playful relationships. And this is a young Ahsoka Tano with Lux Bonteri. And this is also from the Clone Wars. I gotta be honest, this one, I remember it being like kind of like that playful teenage thing, but I don't remember much other than it being kind of like this brief stint in Ahsoka's timeline. And then that was kind of like, oh, okay. You know, like it didn't necessarily add much romance wise to the story, nor should it because of their age.
Sure.
But what are you thinking on this one?
I mean, I wanted to add this one because it's one of those like what ifs, you know, what if this continued on? What if this had made Ahsoka make certain decisions or Lux make certain decisions? So I think just to be able to I can't even say that word. Luxoka would be their
that's their couple
their
name.
Ship name. Yeah, their couple name there. But to be able to have that kind of in the back of their head, like, oh, what would have happened if they would have ended up together? Probably again, not a romance, and you know, per se. But I think it's at least worth mentioning, especially with someone as important as someone like Ahsoka, you know, where we mentioned earlier, Kenobi, you know, a fully fleshed human, like, you know, just, you know, has these feelings too. Well, her as well, maybe we've never actually seen her in a relationship, but can she develop feelings for somebody else? And, you know, we never seen it, I don't think, you know, outside of this particular, as important as her role is, you always kind of at least have that thought, you know, like, what if they, you know, this main character had, you know, was in a relationship, had a partner or something like that, you know, kind of how that would look. And this is like the closest that we ever really got to it. Although, like you said, in her teen years, kind of more implied than anything else. I think it's at least worth mentioning that there was a little bit of time where maybe she considered it for a little bit. Would she have left the Jedi Order for him? Probably not. She did for other reasons. But you know, just to be able to have that kind of in her history, I think is important to at least mention.
I think since it's not a true romance, but it's also not anywhere near as bad as anything on the D tier. I'm leaning towards the top of C only because I don't think it's as cringe as Anakin and Padme.
I like how that's how we're like the bottom of the tier is the intensity of the cringe or the lack of actual romance. So right, you want to put this above Anakin and Padme.
I don't know. What do you think? I could be swayed to put it below only because even though Anakin and Padme are cringe, they're obviously like way more central to the storyline.
Right. And I think that's where I was going to go with it is that
although
maybe you and I and a lot of people just like kind of did like this, you know, just like we have to watch it. We don't want to watch it, but we have to watch it.
Yeah.
I think we still, the importance of that relationship, however it went, kind of puts it at least above Ahsoka and Lux.
I think that is fair because this is like a very brief stint in the show that's not even really like a romance. It's kind of just alluded to, like we said. So I'm good with the bottom of C tier, I think, for this one. So I gotta go back and watch
Anakin and Padme.
Yeah, below Anakin and Padme. I gotta go back and watch the Lux episodes. Because, like, I'm looking at this picture of him and Ahsoka, and I'm like, man, at what point in the story did that actually take place?
I think it was, like, it was literally, like, that was the story. It was them, you know?
All right, we'll put them in the C tier, which means we've got three more here. The next two are also still animated ones. And this next one is a beloved one, I think, for both of us. This arguably might be, maybe with the exception of the next one, one of the two least known of anything on this list. Maybe also Ahsoka and Lux, but Tech and Fee Genoa are two characters from The Bad Batch. Tech is a member of The Bad Batch, these five defective Clone Force 99 clones. And Tech is the really intelligent one, for those of you who haven't seen Bad Batch. And Fee is played by Wanda Sykes. And so it just, like, it's this fun dynamic between the two of them where it's kind of that same Obi-Wan, Duchess Satine vibe of playfulness. And not ever really overtly being like, you know, I love you, just kind of like, you can tell they've got this chemistry and they have an affection for one another.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, she has a nickname for him too, Brown Eyes, remember that? So, you know, she, little nicknames for him, and he's very much the Sheldon Cooper of the Bad Batch, if you will, if you guys know Big Bang Theory.
That's a great comparison. Wow, I've never thought about that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, and if you've ever watched Big Bang Theory, he is kind of that socially awkward, not quite understanding social cues, super intelligent, is able to tell you anything about string theory or what, you know, whatever Tech knows, you know, but in understanding things like, you know, emotion and empathy and love and all that, probably not the first person you'd go to. But even through all of that, Fee had found a way to, like, maybe, you know, fall for this guy, you know, and who knows if it was just her just being playful and flirty, not truly being, you know, a romance or, like, really looking for that. But also it's just a cute little thing that, I mean, each week you kind of waited for that little nickname. You kind of waited for that little interaction between these two just to be like, all right, well, that's where it was. But again, once again, like Star Wars likes to do with couples, Tech does not make it out of the Bad Batch, and we can never realize what could have happened with these two. So, you know, again, it's probably not a true romance, not an actual couple. But at the very least, a fun little side to, you know, what could have been for one of the clones, one of the of Clone Force 99. And I don't know, this particular couple just makes me smile, because whenever you have somebody who just doesn't understand how to be in relationships or in, like, you know, any type of romance or anything like that, just to see them kind of, like, really struggle. But we saw Tech and his growth through the Bad Batch, where he was able to understand the meanings of, like, family, for instance, and, you know, how he was part of the crew to, like, really take in Omega. And, you know, so I think this was kind of his rounding out as well.
Yeah, because Tech is someone who struggles with communication, both in this relationship and just in general, I think that's why this romance feels more meaningful, is because you see his growth as an individual in the midst of this budding kind of flirty relationship thing. I'm inclined, tell me if this is too high, I'm inclined to put them at the top of B.
At the top of B? Oh, okay. So that would be above, is that Bix and Cassian? Is that the, or are they A? They're A, right?
They're A, yeah. This would be above Han and Kira.
Ooh. I don't know if I put them above them. I could put them below them. But above them? Maybe. I don't know. I could flip a coin either way. If you want to go, yeah, let's put them at the top of B there.
Okay, are you sure?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I was just thinking, like, I always look at like the relationships and I'm like, which one may like hit me in the gut the most when inevitably one of the two didn't make it.
right.
And yes. I just remember watching this episode with you where he's falling and we were both like, oh my gosh, no. So I don't know, maybe that's a little too high, but I ship these two, as the kids say.
Nice.
All right, last animated one.
Okay.
Coming up here.
So let's take a quick break. I got to get to Justine real fast.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So let's do that. I don't know if you wanted to just...
And we're back with a quick break, coming back to you with the last two romances on our tier list for today, as well as many of the other honorable mentions that we've had in the chat during this break. Quite some good ones there. Shout out to Spy on Sports for all the honorable mentions. Looking through this list, a couple of my favorites, the C-3PO R2-D2 droid mates.
I mean, that's the longest standing probably relationship that we have in Star Wars, right?
Yeah. What else did I see? One of them that you mentioned is actually still on our list today. Not to spoil too much, but if you're watching the video version of the podcast, you can see the pictures down there below. Chimera and Osha, that was the other one I saw that kind of made me chuckle.
That was a Star Wars show, that is true.
Yeah, BB-8 and Poe, Well, should we wrap up this list with our last two here for the Star Wars romances?
Yes, absolutely.
We've got Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos. Now, this is one that primarily is contained within a book, the Dark Disciple book, which we both read and reviewed here on the podcast in episode somewhere between 50 and 80, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And this is really the story of after Asajj is obviously cast aside by Dooku as sort of her, rather his assassin, and kind of the story of her and Quinlan coming together. And they both kind of represent the grayness of the dark side and the light side, and then find themselves in the middle in a romance together. There is, in the most recent episodes of Tales of the Underworld, in which three of the episodes are about Asajj Ventress, there is a part at the very first episode where you actually do see Quinlan Vos, along accompanied by Obi-Wan, sort of depositing her body into this pool on Dathomir in which she's resurrected from. And so there's clearly this caring relationship between the two of them. It's tough, too, because we don't get to see most of this in visual format. Yes, he is the dude that puts her in the pool in Tales of the Underworld, to answer that question there in the chat. So how are you feeling about Quinlan Vos and Asajj? Where are you thinking you might want to put them?
I think out of all of... Let me think about this. Out of all of the couples that we have mentioned here... I think out of all of the couples that we've mentioned here, I think this is the most intense that a couple was with each other, because they were on such opposite sides of the Force. I think for one part, I think because one was more dark side, one was more light side. Because, I mean, you know, you could argue something like Anakin and Padme having like an intense relationship. Well, they weren't really like, she wasn't on like the far side of either of the Force. She was kind of just, you know, regular, you know, midichlorian count or lack of or whatever, you know, that she was just kind of there. You have Asajj and Quinlan having such opposite ends of the dark side, the light side, and to come together is only the only way they can get together is to have kind of this really intense romance and love. I mean, almost to the point, this is probably the closest in Star Wars books that you almost get like Star Wars smut. You know, like this is a pretty, you know, they're pretty hot and heavy from what I remember, you know. Still not smut, but like it's pretty hot and heavy, you know, that they, you know, that their love for each other, their need for each other, the intensity is so mm-hmm. is so prevalent. So I think on that, now does it really matter in the grand world of Star Wars universe? You can argue not really, you know. It's kind of just a nice story that, I mean, unfortunately, it's just a book that maybe a ton of people didn't even know about until Tales of the Underworld, you know, honestly, when he ends up kind of returning her to Dathomir. Right, Dathomir, right? That's where mm-hmm. they ended up.
Yeah.
So as far as the romance itself, I think it's a really strong one. And if you read the book, it's evident. But as far as its importance in the overall universe of Star Wars, probably not. I mean, I would probably put it at, just because of the lack of importance of it, I'd put it more at a C level, probably higher than Anakin and Padme, because of, I wouldn't call it cringy. It was more of just like, whoa, 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 easy, guys. You know, like, you know, that maybe to that extent, that was maybe cringy. But I think it's like the two teenagers that never fell in love. Like that's kind of like what I feel like these two are. But at the same time, I think it's kind of cool to see Asajj. We talk about rounding out characters. Quinlan is kind of like this Jedi that you just like, okay, he's just one of the Jedis. And but to see Asajj kind of become this, I think was more important for her storyline and really the kind of like all the lore, all the fandom really draws to Asajj probably because of this story.
Yeah. Yeah. With the exception of Kylo and Rey, this is the only couple on the list where both people are a Force user.
Right. Yeah.
I would argue this is the better version of Kylo and Rey. Whereas one is light side, one is dark side, but it doesn't, it actually works in this scenario, and as opposed to the Kylo and Rey one. I'm okay with C. I think if we had this in a live action medium, I think it would easily mm-hmm. be at least B. But mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's like just most of this relationship is confined to one book, more or less, it is hard to put it above C.
Right.
So we're going above Anakin and Padme or below?
I mean, you said? Yeah, well, now that I think about it a little bit more, maybe below them because of the importance that Anakin and Padme do bring to the universe. So in the middle of C between Anakin, Padme, and then Lux and Ahsoka.
Okay.
I think that's where I would put them.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
Last but not least.
The reason why we're here today, actually, is because of this one.
Yeah. Cyril and Karn. Cyril Karn and Deidre Mira.
Yes.
The relationship where when we watched season one of Andor, we were like, what are they doing focusing on this relationship? Like, we don't care. Like, please give us more of the Andor storyline. Please give us more of the Luthen storyline. And then in season two, this weird thing happened where it was like, I kind of care about their relationship now. Mm-hmm. And you see it develop into this really tight-knit bond, but kind of one that is not informed by full trust between the two of them, mainly in that Dedra keeps secrets from Karn and feels like she can't, you know, share all of herself. Which in the end makes Karn, you know, there's that scene where he's like, you know, Andor, granted, is the most adult Star Wars show, but he gets so upset at her where you're like, oh my gosh, are we still watching Star Wars right now? Like, what's happening?
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. Like, to be honest, I haven't thought about what tier I would put this on yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clearly, I'm just going to work my way from the bottom up. Clearly above D, right? We can agree with that. Let's see who we have on C. Ahsoka and Lux. We have Anakin and Padme and Asajj and Quinlan. Oh, man. I mean, Spinal Sports is saying A because it's integral to the conclusion of the story and how their bond obsession led almost directly to the Death Star plans getting into the hands of the Rebellion. See, this is the subjective part. Like, right. Are we grading it more on its integralness to the story or its, like, elements of romance? Because right. they don't really have any romance, necessarily.
I think you put them both into the consideration because this is a Star Wars show, right? So, yeah. I think it's the way you weigh them, I guess, is probably more like a personal thing, like how you, you know, what you weigh it to be more. But I think the to be able to understand the like what it means to the overall story, I think it just makes more sense to include that, especially in the storyline.
So S tier? No.
Well, I mean, that being said, I mean if this list was more of a the cutest couple to like the cringiest couple, they would be in the cringiest couple of all time and probably all space operas ever, you know. But as far as the importance of what they mean to the story, and although it may be kind of off-putting just the way that they are in a relationship, because, you know, there's a lot of awkward, just like awkward moments. And
yeah,
but then there's the whole turn off the lights. I mean, like, you know, just the whole
I forgot
thing,
about
you know,
that part.
You just got to take it all in. Right. A very strong relationship, as weird as it is to say it out loud, a strong relationship, maybe not based on trust, but strong nonetheless. Right. Is it the most communicative? Is it the most like warm and fuzzy? Definitely not. But I think to you know, who are we to say? You know, I'll go back to the Sheldon Cooper thing again. He's kind of like a version of him too. Like just like kind of just straight line. I'm always going to go this way. And for the life of me, I don't understand how this even happened, like this particular couple, but sometimes those are the most interesting ones, right? It's just like, how is this supposed to work? And just how that all, and you know, kind of what Inspiring Sports was saying, like the importance that it ended up being with Star Wars. I think it's important, you know, this is a pretty important role here. Just these two characters, who would have thought that these two characters would have had such a huge role in kind of what happens in Rogue One into A New Hope. So, I mean, I would put them, I mean, no, I can't put them in A. I don't think I'd put them in A just because I feel like, I don't know. I can't do it.
I would feel no higher than B. That high. Yeah.
Yeah. No higher than B. I mean, I would put them in B, honestly, now that I'm kind of looking at it. If we're weighing the importance of Star Wars in it, I think I would, you know, for me, I think that has a good amount of weight. So if I could put it at like the lower part of B, I would be fine with it. Obviously, if we're talking about like just kind of the romance, the oh, they're so cute, I would put them in C. But I think, you know, for the discussion's purpose here, I think I would put them at the lower part of B.
What do you think of Spy on Sports' spot that he had thought about? In between, it'd be the third place B tier.
So, like, it'd so be above Vel and Senta.
Above
I
Vel
mean,
and
yeah,
Senta and below Han and Kira. Or above Han and Kira. Is that what
I
you're
would
hesitating
put them? I now that we're talking about a little bit more, I could put them above Han and Kira. Honestly,
okay. Above Fi and
I think I could put them. I think I put them at top of B. Could yeah, I. I could put them there.
Above Fee and Tech?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm cool with the top of B.
Yeah, top of B.
I'm cool. This wow. relationship
I would have never
is,
thought, never would have thought
just,
that they would have.
It's so oddly unique that it's almost hard to even, like, put it into a tier.
Right.
Because what it represents is not, like, founded on warm, fuzzy feelings.
Right.
Or even like feelings of attraction, really. It's more like, it is attraction, but it's also like, are they like robots when they're talking to, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's
right.
Sometimes the two of them are talking and you're like, why is this working?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. I totally forgot about that scene that you brought up from season two. That's so funny.
Well, here it is.
They're going at the top of B, and before we put our stamp of approval on this Star Wars romance tier list, looking at our final product, are there any parts of it that you think would be worth moving between the tiers? Right now we've got one on the S, three on the A, four on the B, three on the C, three on the D. Three on the D. So a pretty balanced tier list for the most part,
I would expect.
Yeah. Just looking at the full picture. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Karn and Dedra relationship. Is this the only Star Wars relationship involving the mother-in-law? Well, I mean, Padme met Shmi in episode one. So, kind of, I don't know.
But didn't have that same feeling, though.
Marva, isn't that Andor's mom's name?
Mm-hmm. With Bix.
And Bix met her. Anyways, yeah. Couple mother-in-law relationships in Star Wars. Looking
but not
at
so
this,
integral to the actual relationship. Yeah.
Sure. Looking at this, I feel like Anakin and Padme are at sea because it's so cringe in episode two.
Yeah.
I feel like if it wasn't cringe, this would easily be higher on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Han and Leia being not at the top of A is kind of like, I don't know. Those would be my only two things that stand out to me. Were there things that stood out to you?
Yeah, I would say the same as well. I mean, with the Anakin and Padme, because, I mean, that is the, you know, a huge reason he becomes Darth Vader, a huge reason he turns to the dark side. So, you know, that's a very big... So, I mean, if anything would move here, it would be them for me. Because of the impact of that romance. So I would, you know, if I had one audible or one veto or one move, it would be that one to like somewhere in B. But like you said, if we're going to take everything into account, just kind of like the romance in itself, his hate for sand, just everything, you know, if you're going to involve all that too, you know, but here's the other side of it, right? We put Cyril and Dedra at the top of B. And is that not the same exact thing?
In terms of cringeworthiness?
Yeah.
Like, it's cringe, but it's integral to the story, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. By putting them at the top of B, I feel like it's unfair to put Anakin and Padme at the top of C.
Right.
Just because everyone knows the episode two scenes are so cringe.
Right. So that's where I would move them from the top of C to the top of B.
Okay.
And I think Anakin Padme were really early in our list, so we were able to talk it out. We even said we would go back and revisit. So if I would make one move, I would move them to the top of B now.
I'm cool with that move. Because I think that makes the most sense. They stick out to me as one that kind of deserves to be a little bit higher than it is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? The only other thing that stood out to me was having Han and Leia not at the top of A. Does that feel okay with putting Cassian? I know Cassian and Bix are like very fresh in our minds from Andor.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to remove the nostalgic part of it from it. Where I would, you know, I think Spy and Sports said it best. Like they weren't really like a great couple, and you know, remember what happened in the sequel trilogy, and you know, so it didn't end up like great for them. So, I mean, at very least, I would have them tied. You know, Bix and Cassian and Han and Leia.
I think taking the sequel trilogy into consideration is what keeps them off the S tier for me. I think if it was just the original trilogy as maybe not perfect as their relationship is, I think just what their relationship is in the original trilogy, I think is enough to put it into the S. But because of what happened to their relationship at the sequels, I think that makes their spot on the A tier probably deserving. Now that we've talked it out.
Right. Yeah. And I would agree with that. But, you know, just to throw another discussion point at it, I mean, it shows the reality of, you know, of marriages, of relationships, that sometimes they come to an end. So but they could still love each other at the end of it. Right. So does that in itself give it a little bit more oomph, because it, you know, not it's not the happy ending that we all expect. We don't have to move it to S, but, you know, just the thought of it, like, being like a real thing, how, you know, what we looked at Andor, that kind of going through a war, being able to maintain a relationship. Same idea with what I'm talking about here.
Relationships are nuanced is perhaps the biggest takeaway from all of this. Yeah. Han and Leia is the only couple that was briefly interrupted by the woman making out with her brother.
Yes, that is true. And we did not include Leia and Luke in our list that we mentioned here. We were talking about that before the recording started, that we did not, we did forget Luke and Leia. Probably it would be an F tier, we thought, F for family.
Yeah.
We don't want too many in that one, for sure.
Well, I mean, this is a good opportunity, now that we've finalized our list, talk about some of... I know we had quite a few honorable mentions in the chat from Spy on Sports. I got to throw out, like, Leia and Wicket the Ewok.
Look at Leia and Wicket. There was a nice little moment there.
Yeah, yeah.
Baze and Chirrut, though. I like the Baze and Chirrut one that they mentioned. Because that is, if that's not a bromance, I don't know what is. Poe and Finn is a very good bromance as well.
K2SO and Cassian, there's another one.
Yeah. There's a lot. Are we leaving there?
Are we leaving out any of the other like meme relationships in Star Wars?
I don't think so.
Like Jar Jar Binks and being a senator.
Darth Jar Jar, you mean? Darth Jar Jar?
Darth Jar Jar, yeah. Lando and himself.
Lando himself, I did like that one. Oh, Lando and L3, the droid.
Oh,
I remember that.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a little heat there.
I thought of one. Maz Kanata and Chewbacca.
Oh, yes! Oh my gosh, yeah. She even calls him my boyfriend, that's true.
Right.
That would have been a good one.
Look at me pulling out sequel references.
I would have not have that. That's not on my bingo card in 2025. I'll let you know.
Sand people and shooting
Tusken Raiders.
Pods.
Yeah, Tusken Raiders and Jawas.
Yeah, Tusken Raiders and Jawas. Yeah,
Boba Fett and Fennec Shand. I mean, we can come up with a lot.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Or what's Poe's love interest in episode 9. I forget her name.
Oh, Zori Bliss.
Yeah.
And Poe Dameron. You got Mandalorian and that woman from Navarro. I can't remember her name.
Right.
Or Mandalorian and Bo-Katan. I mean, you know. You can go a lot of it, Oliver.
Lots.
Captain Bombardier and the Duchess. Jack Black and Lizzo. True.
Jack Black. You know. We forgot Jack Black and Lizzo on our Star Wars romances tier list. What an oversight on our
part. If I were you, I'd unsubscribe. Everyone unsubscribe. The fact that we even missed that one.
Oh, man. Neil and KB.
Oh, yeah. Skeleton Crew. Nice.
Skeleton Crew, yeah. Well, let us know your favorite Star Wars romance down in the comments below. What do you think of our Star Wars romances tier list? Maybe we'll even make like a community tier list, one on tierlist.com that you all can go in and rank what we've ranked today in the order that you see fit. Let us know what was out of order, what was right, what was wrong. Again, leave your comments down below, either on YouTube or let us know on one of the socials as well. Thanks so much for hanging out today with us, Spy on Sports, and for all the couple ships in the chat. We appreciate it very much. Thank you all those of you listening to today's episode, whether it was live on YouTube or Twitch or after the fact on Spotify or Apple or anywhere you get your podcasts. Tune in next time for episode 116, about 2 weeks from now. Hope to catch you all then. And as a couple final reminders, if you're not yet subscribed on YouTube, definitely hit that subscribe button over there and hit the like button if you're currently watching the live stream. We'd appreciate it very much, and it does also allow us to get a little bit closer to that 500 subscriber goal, so we'd appreciate it very, very much. You can also contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on the pod during the next episode. The Hoth Hangout podcast is available on Spotify and Apple and wherever else you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on a platform that allows you to leave a review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows other people that love Star Wars to discover the podcast more easily. You can find us on the socials, whether it's Instagram, TikTok, or X. And we are also on Twitch now, currently live streaming this episode that you are listening to. Check us out over on Twitch and hit the follow button over there as well. And tune in next time for the next episode that will be live streamed on YouTube and Twitch. We are available on Discord as well, the Hoth Hangout Community Discord server. In the link, the link will be in the show notes of today's episode as well. Joey, any last thoughts on our Star Wars romances tier list that we've created today?
I think these types of episodes are super fun because not only do you get to do something a little bit different with a tier list, but also get to discuss some of the lore, some of the things that you really don't get to discuss when you talk about Star Wars. I mean, you know, you always talk about the Force and how important it is and what it means to the universe, but sometimes it's cool just to get into some of the lower level things like romance, but still be able to tie it all back into something larger like the Star Wars universe. So, no, it was a fun one. I'm excited to kind of see what we're coming up with next. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here a little bit, trying to figure out what the next episode's going to be. So if anybody has any suggestions, let us know, because obviously that's what we did last week or 2 weeks ago. And we're like, you know what? Yes, we will have a romance tier list episode of the next one coming up. So if you have any suggestions of some things that you'd like us to talk about, we would love to talk about those things, and hope to see you again in 2 weeks.
Definitely so. And tune into the socials sometime next week to find out what our topic for next episode will be. Lastly, big, huge shout out to Gibbo for producing today's episode. Gibbo, who belongs on the S tier level of the Hoth Hangout crew, of the most romantic. shout out to you, Gibbo. We appreciate you today, man. Well, that about does it for this episode. Once again, tune in next time. We appreciate you so much for listening to this one. Shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out to Floating Pears and Sand and Turning the Lights Off.
And Dyads.
And Dyads. We'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening to this one. And until next time, may the Force be with you.